Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. A new report from researchers at the nonprofit advocacy organization Disability Rights North Carolina finds that many North Carolinians with disabilities are being left out of the economic mainstream. According to the authors, state policies continue to subject many people with disabilities to unfair wages, isolation, and limited work expectations and options. Employment services also continue to fail people with disabilities who aspire to obtain meaningful employment. Earlier this week, I sat down with Virginia Knowlton Marcus, the executive director of Disability Rights North Carolina, and Chris Hodgson, the attorney and researcher who spearheaded the report, to find out how the situation has arisen and persisted and what state leaders ought to be doing to change things. Well, Virginia Knowlton Marcus and Chris Hodgson of Disability Rights North Carolina, welcome to News and Views. Good to have you with us.
Great to be here.
Thank you.
So, Virginia, remind our listeners about Disability Rights North Carolina. It's been around a long time, but y'all are a large and important organization in our state doing really great work.
Sure. Thank you so much. Disability Rights North Carolina is the only legal advocacy organization dedicated to advancing the rights of people with all types of disabilities of all ages throughout North Carolina.
One of the things you do in addition to litigation and speaking out on behalf of people with special needs is we've got research and writing reports coming out like this one, Moving into the Economic Mainstream, an Overview of Employment Services for People with Disabilities in North Carolina. Chris, you're one of the principal authors, or the author, I guess, of this report.
So the report itself is a bit of a culmination of probably a good 3 years of work. And it's centered around investigations we were doing and monitoring we were doing into sheltered workshops.
That's a workshop where only disabled people with disabilities are working?
Yeah. In our world, we'd call it a segregated facility.
Right, right. It's not a good thing.
Typically hires people with disabilities that are going to be working there. And a lot of it is also connected to a 14C certificate, which allows them to pay less than the subminimum wage or less than the minimum wage to people with disabilities.
Okay. That's a special dispensation from the government, basically, that says it's okay to pay these people less.
Pursuant to a law passed in 1938.
Perhaps a little bit dated. What did you find? What did you find about what North Carolina is doing for folks in these situations? I take it we've got some work to do a better job.
We found a couple of things. One, we found that a lot of people who were going into our vocational rehabilitation system, which is a system that's designed to help people get jobs out in the community earning a minimum wage.
Right. This is a state government system,
it's
right?
A state government system. But when they would go there, they would end up getting sent to these sheltered workshops. And the first step to getting a job in the community was actually getting paid a subminimum wage in a segregated facility.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't make a whole lot of sense. We also found that the training itself didn't lead to jobs in the community.
Mm-hmm.
It was things like putting a label on a can. Very one-step, two-step type of things that didn't actually prepare people for any kind of job in the community.
And so, Virginia, we know, though, that people with disabilities can be integrated into traditional workplaces, right, and live much fuller lives if we just take a little bit of a more assertive approach to these things. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there have been longitudinal studies of VR systems that took a look at what happens when people are in segregated settings, and they make 90% make less than the minimum wage, most less than half of the minimum wage, 90% don't have any health benefits that inner to those positions. But for those who are able to move out into what we call competitive integrated employment,
mm-hmm.
what people would know as like a regular job, you know, making the minimum wage or more, actually did make more than the minimum wage on average. Their earnings more than doubled once they got out of these sort of dead-end jobs.
The report finds that only one-third of working-age North Carolinians with disabilities are employed, which is basically about half of what you would see in the rest of the general population.
That's right. And, you know, I mean, when the Americans with Disabilities Act was passed in 1990, that was just one large policy measure that has happened legislatively, judicially, through executive orders that are moving people out of these segregated settings and into the mainstream of society. You know, here in North Carolina, we still have a long way to go where people are stuck. But the reason that you know, large Civil Rights Act was passed, the ADA in 1990 by Congress and signed into law by George Herbert Walker Bush was because it was found that keeping people with disabilities segregated cost us money. The business case is that people with disabilities get out of these segregated workshops where they make less than the minimum wage doing piecework and into the economic mainstream of society where they're not trapped in poverty and they can become taxpayers.
What a concept.
That's what we found, too.
That's what's going on here right now.
That's exactly what's going on, is that there's state money that goes in to support the sheltered workshops, so they get subsidized for people to work there indefinitely. Most of the people do not get transitioned out of there. So what happens is that we pay that provider, that sheltered workshop, to create jobs for individuals that will never lead to them actually earning any kind of money, and they'll always be relying on government assistance.
It's like a Depression-era model that we've never gotten out of.
That's right.
Are other parts of the country perhaps doing better? Are there places we should be mimicking and trying to follow their lead?
So there are states that have completely eliminated sheltered workshop.
Huh. And these wouldn't exist if we weren't basically subsidizing them. Is that the reality?
Correct. And there's two ways that they've done that. Some states have just created a state minimum wage that got rid of the exclusion. Mm-hmm. And once you actually have to pay people disabilities minimum wage, these facilities, they have to transition to a different model. Other states have just kind of stopped the front door, which is that they no longer allow new people to go into the facilities. And then that really requires these providers to transition.
Now, I can imagine that there would be defenders of the status quo would say, well, if you don't do this, these people are just going to be out of luck. This is the only way these people can be employed. But that's not what the data show.
Well, that's one of the biggest problems, is it creates these attitudinal barriers. Once this structure is built, it becomes sort of self-sustaining. So people are viewed as not capable of doing anything else other than being there. And, you know, it's sort of this tyranny of low expectations that people actually internalize and think that, you know, they need to be in this segregated setting because they can't make it. But with support, they can.
How would it work? Talk to us about some of the solutions and recommendations in the report. How do we move forward and get out of this box that North Carolina seems to be stuck in?
I'll say before we get there is that there are some providers in the state of North Carolina not doing this. They have made the transition. It's really just getting rid of what we had created in the past, which was a county-by-county basis where we did this. And some have transitioned out of it, some haven't. We're kind of like in an in-between state where some providers have seen the light and they realize that it's time to transition away, and other ones haven't. So we're really in a kind of a middle ground right now.
So basically, it's about phasing out segregated employment services, you should say, eliminating the sub-minimum wage. These aren't something that can be done on a county-by-county basis. This is going to require state lawmakers, I would assume, and the Cooper administration, right?
Correct. The ones that haven't phased out, they're not going to change. Mm-hmm. Some of those are connected to military contracts. They are very invested in creating sub-minimum wages and segregation. Others have, they've been doing this for 40 years, the idea of transitioning away. It's too hard of a pill to swallow. Mm-hmm. So the ones that have seen the light, they have transitioned. The ones that haven't, they're not going to without a push.
So how will that happen, Virginia? It's going to take legislation?
Do you want to talk about the MOU?
Executive action?
Well, the good part is that we did work with the state to get a memo of understanding passed to where at least the VR system, the vocational rehabilitation system, will stop sending people with disabilities to sheltered workshops. Hmm. They're in the process now of phasing that out by October 2021.
And we're talking about pretty significant numbers of people, right? I mean, thousands of people here?
Yes. Typically, each year, about 5,000, a little bit more than 5,000, end up earning some minimum wages. Hmm. And throughout the United States, we're looking at roughly at this point about 320,000 that are still earning some minimum wages.
Is there anything else that needs to happen? I mean, I assume probably some other steps need to be taken.
Yeah, there is federal policy out there right now. There's a bill pending in Congress that would help states transition away from this segregated model. I mean, if you think about it, if you're able to pay a non-competitive wage, by definition, you don't have to compete. Whereas private businesses that do have to compete in the open marketplace have to innovate and adapt. These places where people are stuck do not. And so it's a very entrenched system, and there is going to have to be a policy push. The 14C certificates that they receive that allow them to pay workers less than minimum wage, there's very little oversight, none in some cases. Some don't even bother to renew their certificates when they're expired. It's time for it to go, and that's going to require federal policy.
I think there's a practical question that maybe average listeners might have, and that is, how does this happen? How do you help a person move into competitive, integrated employment who may have been in a sheltered workshop? Or just a person who with a disability, they may not have even been in a sheltered workshop, but they're going to need some help, right? How do we get them into that more traditional working environment?
So the law itself already provides employers the responsibility to provide reasonable accommodations. So what we're really talking about is things beyond reasonable accommodations. That's where the state and the federal government can help eliminate those barriers. And a lot of that is figuring out what is someone's skills and figuring out what jobs are best suited based off of their skills and providing them whatever it is that they need to eliminate those barriers. Some of it might be as easy as eliminating transportation. One of the reasons why shelter workshops have existed for so long is because they literally take somebody from point A to point B so they can go to a job. Mm-hmm. A lot of this stuff is entrenched poverty and issues around poverty and giving them access to the open market.
Yeah, from congregate setting to congregate setting. They live in a congregate setting. They work in a congregate setting. And something else that's very important and has been studied and demonstrated and is also common sense is that let people choose what they're interested in. You know, that's what they don't receive in these segregated settings. They do piecework that's meaningless to them, that doesn't build their skills and doesn't hold their interest. And instead of advancing, which is the law that governs VR now since 2001, that people have to have opportunities for advancement, they actually stagnate or regress. So let people do what they're interested in, find out what that is, and help them get there. And that's another gap right now in how we're providing VR services. A lot of times people are sort of funneled into what's available as opposed to connecting with the needs of private employers in the open marketplace and helping make that connection. That's the kind of supports that people need to be successful and have been shown to work.
Well, the report is Moving Into the Economic Mainstream, an overview of employment services for people with disabilities in North Carolina. Virginia Knowlton Marcus is the CEO of Disability Rights North Carolina. Chris Hodson is an attorney and one of the investigators on the report. Guys, thanks very much for coming in with us. We'll do this again soon, I hope. If folks want to find the report, they should go to your website, right? DisabilityRightsNC.org. Am I getting that right?
That's absolutely correct, and it's right on the homepage.
Well, check it out, folks. It's an important report. Thanks, guys. Keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. Great to be here.
Thank you.
Well, that's it for this edition of News and Views. Be sure to check us out online and subscribe to our free newsletters at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Henkel, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News and Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.